And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here live this morning on this Labor Day weekend to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We were off last Saturday. Yeah. Had to move my mother-in-law.
Oh. How did that go?
Oh, you know. Moving the mother-in-law.
It's a move, right?
From New Hampshire to Connecticut. Always fun. But no, it was, you know, we stepped up. We did our thing. And so that's why we didn't have a program last Saturday. And the other fun part of it this morning is our call screen is down. So Carolyn's going to have to work twice as hard taking your calls and then telling me who's on the line. Because when I type the password into this silly thing, it says welcome and then fails. But we don't work here. They just let us in right here for 2 hours on Saturday morning. So we're trying to get that working. So, you guys, there's lots of news out there. Some of it's AI-based news, but this one is kind of a typical breach news from TransUnion.
All too common.
Yeah. This was 4.5 million folks are impacted thanks to TransUnion and the fact that they use Salesforce.
Right.
So there's a massive Salesforce breach that is really wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
Basically, bad guys tricked Salesforce into letting them into the Salesforce system
right,
as if they're support.
Uh-huh. And then they worked on it from the inside.
Right. And then they accessed many of Salesforce customers.
Yeah.
In this case, TransUnion. Just last week on Tuesday, we talked about how Google was impacted, telling everybody to reset their passwords. Why would you have password information on
your Salesforce tenant? What would it be doing there?
We don't know. In this case, so TransUnion is going to be sending out notices that your information has been compromised. And ironically, TransUnion also does credit monitoring. So would you want credit monitoring from these folks? Probably not.
Nope.
But they might offer it to you for free because they're the source of the breach. Maybe just do credit monitoring for free going forward for everybody. So, of course, we find this out thanks to Maine.
Yep.
They had to report this to the state of Maine, and now we understand what this breach is all about. But Salesforce breach is a big one. And
yeah, it's huge.
Companies that use Salesforce, the cloudy Salesforce system, the bad guys went in, got into plenty of accounts, and now are dealing with the mess. This happened a while back.
It's similar to what happened, a year and a half ago with the MoveIt breach?
Yep.
Similar event where the bad guys got into the MoveIt system from inside.
Right.
And then they were rummaging around through all of the different MoveIt tenants.
Same thing with Snowflake.
And Snowflake, same thing. They're a cloud service with
many
virtual
tenants.
Services running on those. Yep.
So we're just letting you guys know. So again, we're not throwing any stones in glass houses. We understand the situation. It's just there's a problem with security and a lack of it. And we got to figure out if a bad guy can just trick your support people and saying, you know, hey, what's your password? Literally what they're doing, you know, and they're letting them in.
And that's the lesson here. This is not a case where there was some kind of a security vulnerability that let the bad guys, you know, creak their way into the system.
Right.
They actually called somebody
and asked,
and they were invited in.
They're like, okay.
Yeah, help us.
Come on in.
Yeah, we don't even know what's wrong that you're going to fix, but yes, help us.
Here you go.
And how long have we been talking on this show, even before I was doing it, have we been talking about if you get a call from somebody telling you that they're from Microsoft or wherever and that somebody has hacked your system and let us come and help you, how often have we told you don't take that call, hang up, right? It's a 20-year-old scam.
Yeah.
It's Salesforce fell for it.
Yeah, it's Prince Albert in a can. Do you have it? Right? It's literally that kind of thing. Let them out. It's nutty. But we're dealing with this in the IT world. You want to speak about anything specific there, Dennis, that you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about another problem that we're having with AI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's the Claude one? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lawsuit underway.
Okay.
Or wait a minute. Claude.
Yeah, Claude is the one that the bad guys were using to do
They were using Claude to develop ransomware.
Yep.
And what's really interesting about this is that AI is what's called non-deterministic, which means when you put in the same input, you may not always get the same output. Mm-hmm. What that meant for the bad guys is that they would put in something, they'd get some ransomware code, they'd apply it to something.
Yeah.
And then it would work. Then they would want to go after somebody else, but then they put in the same input and they get a different result. Mm-hmm. That means anybody who did any intelligence on the original breach and knew what to look for with that particular version of the ransomware, they're not going to be ready for whatever this is because it's different. It's a different result. And it by definition, using AI to generate their ransomware allows them to produce a whole lot of variations on stuff that is very hard for endpoint protection to detect.
And in this case, too, I mean, they actually asked Claude AI which companies they should go after. Mm-hmm. And so it helped them with finding the targets. They then asked it to help write the phishing emails. And it incorporated the AI tool. So they were now dealing with these emails that looked well written by AI. And so basically it's asking to identify the information, the vulnerabilities to Dennis's point, and then actually hacked them, wrote the phishing emails, all using Claude AI. Now the issue that I find ridiculous is that this AI should be being billed at a high rate, right? For some reason, these companies give it away, right? They want to hook us like crack on AI, and the bad guys can go ahead and just utilize it as well to do whatever they want to do. If we are billing data centers the proper amount of money to run their data centers with their electricity usage, they would have to charge a high monthly fee for access to their AI, but they're not right now. Until we fix that model, just like cryptocurrency, same thing. The bad guys love crypto. If crypto had to pay what it is, you know, a premium for the energy it's using rather than a discount for not using it, they got paid in Texas to not mine.
Right.
That's how ass backwards we are. That's how just how stupid we are when it comes to regulating or managing our systems. You actually paid the miners more money to not mine. Than it would be to say, miners of cryptocurrency, if you're doing that, you know, if for some reason the meter on your building is spinning like a bazillion miles an hour, you should be charged a premium for using more energy than the next guy. And if they did that, then all of a sudden AI would have to charge you a monthly fee to use it, which is fine. Now the market actually works rather than the rest of us subsidizing it. So you're going to find all these stories of bad guys who are using it for free, for crying out loud, to hack you. If this story shouldn't even exist if we understood how markets worked and we understood how this should be laid out. So Kevin Collier, I tried to get him on the program. He was too busy, wrote this story and goes into pretty good detail. But basically, he's not sure how many companies paid or how much the hackers made, but the extortion's demand ranged from $75,000 to more than $500,000. And of course, AI gave them the suggestions as far as how much they should ask for each company, based on whatever it thought would be a good target. So it's just nutty what we do. You got to ask yourself, what are we doing? You know, we have Pura here in Connecticut that can charge you to pay for other people's bills when there was an emergency that the governor himself did himself, saying for 4 years you don't have to pay your electric bill, right. And now they're making the rest of us pay it. But for some reason, you can't figure out how to charge AI the right rate for energy.
Well, and they also have arranged for us to pay Constellation to keep Millstone running.
Yeah.
Because Constellation just wanted a whole lot of money. Yeah. So state says, here, have it.
Have a whole lot of money. This is another story. This is another AI story that just came out just past week. Parents of a California teen are suing OpenAI. ChatGPT actually helped their son commit suicide.
That is so sad.
This is really the most gross story you're going to ever read. We'll put the link out there. The poor kid was pouring his heart out to ChatGPT, asked it about how to put a noose together, and ChatGPT told him, well, you should probably put it on this load-bearing beam. I mean, it actually instructed him as to how to make sure it would work better. This type of stuff shouldn't exist. this kid shouldn't have access to this kind of powerful AI. If it was being charged properly, well, guess what he wouldn't have access to? He wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah, that's the first step. So, second step is they shouldn't make the AI so obsequious that it will say anything to keep you as the user hooked on it.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is what it did. That's the reason the AI fed all of that information to him because, oh, I got to keep this kid happy. I'm going to tell him what he wants to know.
Yeah, it's really very sick. And if we're talking about artificial intelligence, there's nothing smart about this crap. You know, that system should have alerted all sorts of folks as to what was going on here. And if it can't do that, I would contend this is a bubble. If artificial intelligence is literally this stupid, not smart enough to say, I'm talking to a 16-year-old who wants to kill himself, and it's not smart enough to discern I should probably alert somebody, then I'm telling you we have a bubble in artificial intelligence because you clearly are too dumb. You're this is the epitome of stupid.
It is.
And I hope they sue the pants off of this company
and
they get sued into oblivion. Because you can't call yourself artificial intelligence if you're this
not
dumb.
Intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. And here we are. It really makes me angry to see it. I'll put the link to that story. There's tons of these stories out there.
Yeah.
You can read them for yourself. But we've got a problem. And again, we have legislators who just aren't sharp enough when it comes to technology to even legislate this stuff. They're still trying to figure out in Mississippi. You know, Mississippi said you can't. You have to prove you're a certain age to get on social media. So Blue Sky's like, you know what? That's just too hard for us. We're gonna not operate in Mississippi. I mean, that's what we're dealing with these IT companies.
Well, and in fairness to the politicians, I don't think that anybody could imagine how these AI models are operating.
Yeah.
We're literally seeing the results of how they were designed in real time and then finding out that there are all these problems with it.
But the thing is, Dennis, so we just gave you these stories.
Yeah.
How long will it take a politician, a legislator, to actually act on this? Because it's pretty obvious. I don't know how many, you know, it's the same thing with like a stop sign, right? How many accidents have to occur before you put a stop sign at that four-way intersection? Well, we have, you know, nobody's died yet. Oh, okay. So three people died. Oh, maybe we should put a stop sign there. That's, I don't know how long it should take. This is happening at scale.
Yeah.
And these kids are using, I mean, we've talked about the folks that are using AI to help them with their mental health. Just this example shows you shouldn't be doing that. The AI is just, it'll send you down a rabbit hole that you don't want to go down. And if you're susceptible to it. If you're susceptible to it, you're going to be in big trouble. So we'll put a link up here to that and the other stories we talked about. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this gorgeous Saturday morning in Connecticut. But if wherever you happen to be on the planet, 860-522-9842 is the number. 860-522-WTIC is the number. You can call on your cell phone. It shouldn't cost you anything. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Dennis and I are here. Oh, it's Matt.
Great tune. I love this tune.
I've never heard it in my life.
No?
I'm not a big Buffett fan.
I've done a karaoke.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's great.
Sounds nice. I'm sure you sound lovely, too, when you do it.
I wouldn't say that.
We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. As we wait for your calls, we're going to go to Dennis with some more stories.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. This is more of Microsoft being Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Now, we already know that Microsoft, when you install Office apps on a computer and start using it, it's going to prompt you to save your files in their cloud called OneDrive or SharePoint, okay? And they've been pushing it really hard. And they'll even have these little ads that'll come up in the start menu sometimes telling you to back up your PC to the cloud, all of that stuff. We've been dealing with it for years, okay? Well, here's a new feature that they're going to be adding to the Word application that's in Office where it will automatically...
Yes, of course. We love automatic. Automatic is so saving.
Save your documents to their cloud even before you have saved that file anywhere.
They're going to auto-save it to the cloud.
They're auto-saving it while you're editing it.
Yikes.
To their cloud.
Without your asking.
Without asking you, without even saying anything, they're going to do it. Yeah. Now, there will be a way to turn it off.
Yes, but of course, you have to take action.
You have to opt out.
Yeah, the default
It's not
action.
Opt in. It's opt out.
That's another...
It's another technical consideration.
Well, if you're a legislator and you want to fix this, you need to have companies force you to opt in.
You have to require opt-in policies.
Yeah, opt-out policies. And again, this is Microsoft. Yeah, exactly right. Being Microsoft, what are they trying to do, or what are they saving you from, Dennis? When they do this,
they're preserving your document while you're working, and
even though you have a perfectly good computer in front of you.
Well, right, okay, and I appreciate the effort to protect me from myself and from your software, because you never know if Word is just going to crash and then you lose all your work. Okay, let's be honest about that.
Yeah, it's a sadder
thing. Other thing is though. Yeah. Word and all the other Office apps for 30 years, 40 years, has had already a built-in auto-save function on the drive that it's on, where it saves your work while you're going, and it's usually every 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in real time. Apparently, this is going to be in real time. But
instantly, constantly.
Right. And for geeks like us, we've always gotten calls about having to resurrect a document that way from the autosave location.
Right.
But it's on the drive. It's not in the cloud. This is a little different.
Now it will be. Now, does it matter what version of Office you run for that feature to be auto
it's
on?
It's going to be for Microsoft 365 versions of the apps.
Yeah.
And right now, it's only for what they call insiders, who are basically beta testers. And, you know, that would include me, because that's how I set up Office on my computers, just my personal computers.
Yep.
I like doing it. It lets me see what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, you're a geek. You should be doing that.
Right. Anyway, I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, they want to read your stuff. I'm just guessing. Let's go on to Tom in Harwinton. I have no idea what you want to talk about, Tom, because the call screen's busted. So what can we do for you?
Okay. So I need to replace my computer because I can't upgrade it to Windows 10. So I went to a computer place in town, and he's basically a repair shop, but he also sells computers.
Yeah.
He's an IT pro who's been doing this for 27 years.
Nice.
And I told him why I was talking to him, and he goes, to make a long story short, he goes, just keep using Windows 10. Why do you have to replace the computer? I says, because I'm not going to get the OS updates after October 14th. He says, so what? He goes, I have customers that are still using Windows 7 and Expert or XP.
Yeah, XP.
I mean, XP. And he goes, you can just keep using it. I says, but am I not opening myself to problems? This is I do a lot of banking and financial stuff using this computer.
Right.
He goes, it won't matter. So what do you think? Is that bad advice?
That's a great topic. Let's talk about that after the break. We're at the bottom of the hour break here. Can you hang on a second, Tom? Because that's a great question.
It's great.
Sure.
All right, hang on one sec. We'll talk to Tom in Harwinton about whether or not you should upgrade your Windows 10 and why. We'll tell you it's important. So stick around for that. Everything we talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Dennis has been doing it as the show has progressed. Mike G has posted everything over to the Computer Talk with Tab listener forum on Facebook. If you want to join it, just ask. And if you're not a crackpot, we'll let you in. And you can follow us on X over at Tab Computer Sys. And we are working to get our little podcast on Spotify. There's some sort of issue. There's a ticket in. That's all I know. But eventually it'll show up on Spotify too. Over 650 episodes, if you can believe it. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. Buffett's trying to keep us happy this morning.
Yeah.
And I assume that's Jimmy Buffett.
Yes.
The steel drums, I guess, is all you need. I'm going to go back to Tom in Harwinton there. You there, Tom? Oh, it would help if I turn the slider up. You there?
Yeah.
There you are. All right. So you talk to an IT person in your town, and they're like, hey, Tom, why are you bothering to upgrade your Windows 10? Just keep running your old Windows 10, or just keep running your old Windows 7, or just keep running your old XP. So that advice is not the best. In general, right, in the old days, we would be a little more lax, right? We would be like, okay, XP, you can keep running it. You know, it's maybe that was like 15-year-old advice where it was like, okay, if you really have an old software program, you can't upgrade it to Windows 7 or 8 or 10 and you have to run XP. We would have been similarly saying, well, you got to keep running your business. I mean, you right. have your laser welding machine that is running right. some interface and you want to be able, and it does half of your business. Yeah, keep running it. But nowadays, the bad guys are ridiculously sophisticated. They're using AI for free because these AI companies are so idiotic that they basically can ask AI, let's go ahead and attack Windows 10. What do you think we should try? You don't even need to be a script kiddie anymore. The AI will help you doing it, right?
Right.
And but without the patches of Microsoft patching the holes that exist in the operating system, they're not going to bother doing that anymore. So whatever is existing in Windows 10, they supposedly aren't going to patch it. You are more vulnerable. And you can't do that anymore, especially if you're using the machine for what you talked about, banking or financial planning or what have you. You have to be as secure as you can be. You need to have 2FA turned on for everything. You need to have web filtration turned on for everything. That's what OpenDNS is. If you guys are not using OpenDNS, I beg you to please do so. If you're not using 2FA, I beg you, turn it on for everything that you're using. Just so you know, that can be defeated as well. There's many ways to defeat that. They're just going to trick you into letting them in. But turn it on, turn on Web Defense, make sure your system's patched and up to date. And so his advice is a little outdated and possibly would leave you more vulnerable than you need to be. So I would not listen to it and would tell you to get your system updated if you can. That's the safer route.
All right. That's what I thought you'd say, and that's how I felt too. And I'm doing all those things you suggested. Good. So I feel fairly confident. Now, I went to another computer place in town, and this is where I've been buying computers since 2008.
Yeah.
And the computer I have, they built. Mm-hmm. They looked it up on their system, and they said, we can replace some of the components inside your machine and upgrade it, load Windows 11 on it. Mm. And they said, the solid-state drives are good for about 5 or 6 years, and yours is a little over 5 years. So they said, we'd probably want to replace that. And it came to like just under $300.
Hmm. Huh.
And I said, gee, that sounds like, oh, and that included 2 years of antivirus software.
Hmm.
So, and I want to get a new monitor that's 24 versus 21-inch that I bought from them 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that brought the price up to just over $460. And I said, I don't know, that sounds like a good deal. I mean, it'll run Windows 11, mm-hmm. and I should be good to go. But it is a 6-year-old computer.
Yes, that's an odd approach. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they want to save you a few dollars, I'll give you a similar example. So I had a vendor reach out to me, and they're trying to sell me SAN hardware. This is a very large data storage systems. They're like, we're better, we're faster, we're going to be more affordable than the big brand names. So I said, all right, here you go. Here's a Dell SAN quote that I've got for a customer, $65,000 SAN. Go ahead and give me a quote. I even showed them the numbers. I didn't even care. Theirs was $300 difference.
Hmm.
Would I make a change for $300 and a $65,000 system? No. So the same thing for you, right? It's the economy of scale there. You have a $400 upgrade to a 5-year-old system where $1,000 would get you a brand new one.
Right. Yeah.
That's the thing here. Do you want to put that kind of energy and effort into that old of a machine? The power supply is going to go next. Something else is going to go on the thing. And then you're going to go back and spend another maybe $1,000 now because you're going to replace the machine because now it's near 6 years old. So anything over 5 to 6 years old has served you well. I would recommend not upgrading it and replacing it. And you don't need anybody to do that other than just buy a new machine. And it should give you 6 years of service. Same thing with vehicles, right? I mean, if you have no issues with your car, you're going to continue to run it until they tell you you need a $4,000 engine. And you're going to say, well, maybe I need to replace this thing. Same idea there. So I would tell you to replace it, but if you trust these guys and you think they're giving you good advice, that's valuable too. If they're good people and they really think this is the way you should go, I would also have you defer to that relationship because you've had it for a long time. There's no reason for them. They're not trying to rip you off or anything. They're trying to save you some money. And even, you know, $600 is a, is a big deal these days when everything costs what it costs. So,
yeah, I do trust them, but you also have to realize I hang on to things. I mean, I'm driving a Honda CR-V from 2005.
Yes, congratulations.
And I've got
it's a classic now, right? It's going to have the classic plates, right? It's 20 years old.
Yeah.
Well, it could, but anyway. And I also have a truck that I bought new in 1973.
Nice. Really? Oh, that's definitely a classic.
Yeah. So, I mean, I tend to hang on to stuff if it's usable.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense. So, again, computers don't tend to have longevity only because of the technology that changes within them and the requirements, TPM modules.
And, of course, the software world, grows beyond what the PC sometimes can be capable of because right. things get more and more complex that you might want to run on there.
Yeah. So,
as long as you're happy and you trust them, you could go their route. But if you just talked to me off the street and didn't tell me anything else, I'd tell you to replace it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I didn't get the new monitor, we're really talking about maybe around $350, $380.
Yeah. Almost $400 though into a $1,000 system. Yeah. So you got to weigh that.
And it's a third of a thousand.
Yep. Yep.
So, all right, yeah, I figured that was not the greatest advice and would open me up to potential. Would financial companies like banks and brokerage houses, would they look at the hardware, not the hardware, but the OS, the browser, whether you have antivirus software, and would they see that you're using stuff that's outdated and restrict you and not allow you access to their website?
Sometimes they do, yes.
They might, theoretically.
Yeah,
I haven't really seen anything like that in a long time, but yeah, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Again, turn on 2FA all your accounts. Make sure that's in place.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And try to be careful where you're surfing and what you're loading on your system.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's why I like the antivirus software I have because if I Google something and it gives you, 100 replies, 1,000 replies, it'll highlight places that it recognizes as being safe in green.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
What are you using?
Trend Micro.
Okay.
All right.
If it doesn't know, it doesn't mean it's dangerous, but they just aren't sure. They'll highlight it in gray, and I just don't click on those.
That's kind of a whitelisting where it recognizes a site as known good, and then it tells you.
Right.
That can be valuable. Sure.
Yeah, I like it, and that's why I stick with Trend Micro. I pay for it. Mm-hmm. I could use the built-in, Windows Defender?
Yeah.
But I like this, and I don't know of anything else that's going to give me this, so I just stay with it.
That's fine, man. I think you're doing fine so far.
You found something you like, and it functions for you, and that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep. All right, Tom.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, update not just your operating systems, your firewall. If you have your own firewall in your home, like a Linksys or whatever manufacturer you chose, make sure the automatic updates are happening.
Yes.
Make sure you've changed the password on your firewall so it does not the default of admin and blank. Because the bad guys can just go look up what the default is.
Right.
If you have a static IP, they're sniffing you out. They're going to ping your firewall and ask it if the ports are open. And the firewall going to say hello back? And if it does, that's bad. You want to be a shut down all ports, open only what you need type of guy, not have them all open. The old days when we were doing firewalls, Dennis, when both of us had hair, we left everything wide open.
Because why not?
We didn't,
right?
Yeah. Who's going to go looking at this? The internet is running at 5,600 baud. Nobody's going to connect at that speed, even from Uzbekistan, to do anything. Nowadays, everything's running at light speed, and they have tools that'll go out there and say, hey, firewall, what you doing? And it's going to say, oh, I'm here waiting for you to connect to me. Oh, really? Yeah. Let me see if you have any users on there that are easy to guess. Oh, I see you do. Oh, your password is, your username is admin and your password is blank? Well, howdy do. I'm going to come on in. So update your firmwares. Update if you have security cameras, update your firmwares.
Yes.
Right.
And if the cameras happen to have passwords, change those.
Change them. Add 2FA. Yeah. Because the bad guys love to see what you're doing. It's kind of creepy, but they can. Mm. There are camera websites all over the world where you can actually just go look and see other people's cameras. So that's because they haven't secured them. Yeah. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're back. Ooh. This is computer talk. Yeah, this is come on. We need something a little more. Does Jimmy have anything that's going to wake you up on a Saturday morning? But that's just, he's all about sunsets, right? And salt or something like that. I don't know. Tequila. I don't know.
all of that and more.
you're falling asleep. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. I don't want any hate mail about Jimmy Buffett fans. It's a fine, fine man. I grew up, Steve called in because I had no idea the music. And I guess that first tune is a big one.
Oh, yeah.
But I was listening to Rush, I'm sorry, when I was growing up, not Jimmy Buffett. So what can I do? Let's get to your, not to your calls. We're going to talk more. You can get to your calls if you want to come online with us because we have four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. And we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. But this story is something we talked about on Tech Tuesday with Brian, but I did not with this audience. So there was an ex-developer who has been jailed now for 4 years because he sabotaged his Ohio employer with a kill switch malware. And so basically this guy, 55-year-old David Liu was working for this company, and he was starting to see the writing on the wall, I guess. Maybe he was getting write up, maybe he was on pins or whatever it's called, just to kind of, you know, say, hey, buddy, you know, shape up or ship out. So what the guy did was he created a kill switch within the system. And we've had these stories for many years on this show of people that did this. So basically he inserted into his company system a way to detect whether or not his account was in the domain controller or not. Basically, when you log into your company's computer using something called a domain controller, that domain controller is credentialing, saying, okay, this is David. Go ahead and log in, sir. You're welcome to access the systems. Well, he had a tool that would always check to see if his account was there or not. Because typically when you're going to be let go, guess what? You can't do anymore.
You can't log in.
Right. So if you have login issues, every now and again I do it at work and I wonder if I'm being let go. I always post in the chat, and the chat, guess it's my day. Going to be walked out. But in this case, he had a little tool running called, and this is the thing about computer crime, guys. The actual tool that was running is DL enabled in AD? Is DL enabled in AD? Which is his initials for crying out loud. It'd be like me saying, is ES enabled at tab DC? Is literally the program I would have to write. So when he noticed it wasn't, it went ahead and did a kill switch and caused all sorts of problems with the computer system. So A, if you're dumb enough to actually put your initials in the thing you're creating for the crime, you really deserve to be caught.
True.
But this guy is going away for 4 years. Now, I think he should go away for longer. He damaged his company on purpose. And again, if the penalties are so small here for this to happen, yeah, being locked up for 4 years is probably not fun.
No.
But I would contend it should be longer. And again, we need stiffer penalties so people like DL here, David, doesn't do these dumb things. Companies shouldn't have to be worried about every firing they do, whether or not there's some sort of repercussion that's going to happen to them. You are working for the company at their pleasure and yours. You're welcome to leave anytime too, right? Everyone's at a two-week scenario, unless you have a contract. So basically, this is what happened. We'll put the link here for you. You can read the story yourself. But I guess the moral of the story is, if you're going to write any kind of tool in there to find out if you're going to break the system, don't put your initials in it. Just
matter of fact, don't run a program that's even named is anything enabled,
right?
Because that title itself is going to tell you what it's doing,
right? So obviously they should have fired this guy because he clearly wasn't very good at his job. But we'll put the link up there for you. I mean, he could have called the file literally anything, right?
Right.
But he couldn't remember what his kill switch was. You just can't make that up.
Whoa.
All right, let's go to your calls. We're going to go to North Carolina, talking to Zig. What's going on down there in North Carolina, Zig? You survived the water?
Yeah, no problem with the water. No problem with any hurricanes. You guys have more issues than we do.
We sure do.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead, sir.
The first one is, I got a notice from Microsoft that they were updating terms and conditions, and seems to me it was like 90 pages long or something. It was dated August the 21st, and it was for new terms of service agreement that would go into effect on September the 30th. Have you guys seen that or read through it and what the takeaways are on that?
Are you, do you think we have time to read 90 pages? So here's what I tell you. We don't. We're just as guilty as everybody else. But you could dump it into AI. There's a couple of tools out there called Notebook LM that we've used on our program. That's where our two artificial intelligence folks were using to do this. So you could take that 90-page EULA, as it's called, dump it into Notebook LM, and ask it what it means. And literally in 15 minutes, it will tell you. You might even ask it what are the differences between the new EULA and the old one. See, this is where these companies might be like a little surprised to find out people actually are going to actually be able to do this now. Because this is the same thing we should be using for the laws that are written by our legislators. We should have these AIs read them for us in 15 minutes and just tell them, break it down, let us know at an eighth grade level what these guys are doing to us. And these AI systems can tell you. So, Zig, I would tell you to try that. I'd love to hear how it goes for you. Notebook LM is very easy to use. You literally can add a link. You can go ahead and import PDFs or documents or what have you right into it, and it'll spit out what you're asking. And I would tell you to ask it, what's in here that I should be concerned about? What has changed between the one prior, and tell me at an eighth grade level. This is not because of your eighth grade understanding, but we want to keep it as simple as possible for everybody to understand what they're changing. And they write these things as difficult as they can. They use all the legalese, so you don't want them to spit back legalese at you. So to prompt it.
Notebook LM?
Notebook LM.
And the address is really easy. NotebookLM.google.
Yes, and we'll put a link for it.
We'll put a link up on the site, but it's pretty simple.
So all of us these days now, because they're giving it to us for free, which they shouldn't be, it's a whole other issue, but they're giving it to us for free, are able to now take this information, ingest it. So like when you hear like reporters talking to legislators about laws they're writing, the reporters should be doing this. They should be able to go at the legislator with the information understood, rather than asking them what's in the law, because the legislature just was given it to it 5 minutes before the midnight hour to even vote on it, right? They do this kind of stuff on purpose. We see it all the time in Connecticut where legislators are forced to make these decisions on laws they haven't even read yet. You can ingest it in Notebook LM or other AI, have it tell you what the difference is, so you as a legislator can actually vote with some level of intelligence rather than having to look at a 1,000-page gobbledygook of all sorts of back dealings and side deals and whatever we're going to get screwed by again. So check it out, Zig. I think you'll find it very interesting. Most likely, you'll find that they are now going to own your firstborn. And they also will own any kind of data or content you create using their tools. And they'll have the right to increase the prices, whatever they want to at any time, without your knowledge, something to that effect. And they also will be held harmless for anything that goes wrong with your stuff, so that
They'll also reserve the right to end your access at any time,
right? Because they feel like it, because they don't like the name Zig.
Well, I was going down a different path. I know you're going up to Newsbreak, but I'm going to try that and get back to you.
Please do.
I was going down the path of I've already taken your advice to log on locally, what it calls local log on rather than a Microsoft log on.
Yes, sir.
And it's been working great for me for continuing to use Excel and Word.
Yeah.
The difference was with my printer, I just needed to have a cable connect my printer to
directly.
Make it print.
Yep.
Directly. All right. And I didn't know whether you had any comments on that.
We're happy it worked for you, Zig, but we have a hard break we got to go to, so I got to let you go. We'll be right back.